त्रेतायां रक्तवर्णो असो चतुर्बाहुस् त्रिमेकलह हिरण्यकेशस् स्त्रैयात्मा शुक्श्रुवादि उपलक्षणा त्रेतायां रक्तवर्णोऽसौ त्रेतायां रक्तवर्णोऽसौ चतुर्बाहुस्त्रिमेकलः चतुर्बाहुस्त्रिमेकलः हिरण्यकेशस्त्रयात्मा शुक्श्रुवादुपलक्षणः त्रेतायां रक्तवर्णोऽसौ चतुर्बाहुस्त्रिमेकलः हिरण्यकेशस्त्रयात्मा शुक्श्रुवादुपलक्षणः त्रेतायां रक्तवर्णोऽसौ चतुर्बाहुस्त्रिमेकलः हिरण्यकेशस्त्रयात्मा शुक्श्रुवादुपलक्षणः त्रेतायां रक्तवर्णोऽसौ चतुर्बाहुस्त्रिमेकलः हिरण्यकेशस्त्रयात्मा शुक्श्रुवादुपलक्षणः मतजिस् त्रेतायाम इन त्रेता युगा रक्तवर्णा रेड कॉम्प्लेक्शन असो ही चतुर्बाहु फोर आर्म्ड त्रिमेकलह वेरिंग थ्री बेल्ट्स रिप्रेजेंटिंग थ्री फेजेस ऑफ वेदिक इनिशिएशन हिरण्यकेश having golden hair, Trayatma, personifying the knowledge of the three Vedas, Shrukshruva Adi, the sacrificial wooden ladle, spoon and so on, Upalakshanaha, having as his symbols, Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Treta Yuga, the Lord appears with a red complexion. He has four arms, golden hair, and wears a triple belt representing initiation into each of the three Vedas. Embodying the knowledge of worship by sacrificial performance, which is contained in the Rig, Sama and Yajur Vedas. His symbols are the ladle, spoon and other implements of sacrifice. Purport. The Shruk is a particular implement for pouring ghee in sacrifices. It is about an arm's length long and is made of a particular type of wood called vikankata. The shruk has a rod-like handle and a spout with a shallow groove at its tip that resembles a swan's beak. Its front part is a carved-out spoon the size of a fist. The shruva is another implement used in sacrificial oblations. It is made of kadira wood, is smaller than the shruk, and is used to pour ghee into the shruk. It is also sometimes used instead of shruk to pour ghee directly into the sacrificial fire. These are the Lord's symbols in Treta Yuga, when the Lord incarnates to introduce the Yuga Dharma of Yajna or sacrifice. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Welcome to all our devotees for the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and especially those devotees that came from Calcutta after the Calcutta Yatra. This verse, I seek blessings especially from His Grace Radha Dwiti Prabhu, because this verse is about Yajna. And any of those devotees that are experts in this field, I have only taken part as a participant, not as a performer. But this particular avatar that this verse is being described, I was always intrigued by this avatar, because not much information is given. Amongst the Yuga avatars, each Yuga has a way of deliverance by which they get delivered from the cycle of birth and death. And in the Krita Yuga, in the Satya Yuga, the performance was of dhyana, just meditation. And it is said that in Satya Yuga, there was no religion per se that was needed. Because one thing is, everyone was religious. Like say, if somebody comes to the temple and he inquires about, I want to meet Das. Now the person who is at the receptionist, he will say, everyone here is Das. Which Das do you want? Same way in Satyoga, if you try to inquire, I want to meet a devotee, then the response will be, everyone here is a devotee. Which devotee do you want to meet? And therefore there was no religion per se. It was a very blissful, happy life, and people naturally renounce the world after the age of 60 or 60,000 years. Then they went to the forest and meditated, and it was very natural. Compared to now, it seems to be very unnatural to renounce or to give up sense gratification. Although it is giving us trouble. Therefore it is said, material pleasures, they are like Dilli ka laddu. So now winter is coming. Jo khaye wo bhi pasthaye. Jo nahi khaye wo bhi pasthaye. One who eats it because it is so bitter, he is lamenting, why did I eat? Now in winter time, sometimes in the ashram, many devotees come and give this methi ka laddu. It's same, Dilli ka laddu. And those who are taking it, they are happy and also unhappy that they have to eat this. But it's good for health. At least in this example of Dilli ka laddu, at least it creates a lot of heat in the body and it's good in the winter time. But I had another analogy towards material pleasure. It said material pleasure is like those who are trying to enjoy material pleasure is like a public toilet. Those who are inside, wo pasta rahe, and those who are outside, wo tadap rahe. Those who are outside, they are desperate because their bowels are just busting out and they need to get inside. They think that by getting inside, by having that material pleasure, they'll be happy. And those who are inside, those who got that pleasure, they are wondering, why did I choose this option? And seeing how can they get out. And so therefore, according to the different mentalities in different yugas and the capabilities, the Lord offers different ways by which the people in that yuga can get delivered. And in this particular chapter, Karabhajana Muni is describing the different yugas and the qualities that the people in that yuga have, and the different avatars that come in those different yugas. And I thought I was given this verse maybe to do some research. And I tried to do a lot of research into who exactly was this Rakta avatar. This avatar in the Treta Yuga that came in the red color. And here the exact name is not given, but the avatar that came in the Treta Yuga to start the process of Yajna, his name was also Yajna. And he was the son of Akuti, of Ruchi and Akuti. And the Swayambhuva Manu, he had, and Shatarupa, they were asked to create progeny. And they had three daughters and two sons. The first daughter was Akuti. The second was prasuti, and the third was devahuti. And the two sons were Uttanapad and Priyavrat Maharaj. And from the first daughter, the first daughter was married to this sage called as Ruchi. And from the Akuti and Ruchi comes the Yajna. And Yajna gets married to Lakshmi Devi, who incarnated as Dakshina. So therefore, Yajna and Dakshina, they are a couple, they are a pair. Therefore, in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 13, Krishna says that Adakshinam, Ashastram, that Yajna, that sacrifice that is not performed according to the rituals, according to the scriptural injunctions, or that sacrifice in which not proper Dakshina is given, it is Yajna in the mode of ignorance. And because like Narayan without Lakshmi, or Sita, or Ram without Sita, or Yajna without Dakshina is incomplete. And these two, Yajna and Dakshina, they begot 12 children. And these 12 children are called as the Tushita Devatas. Those Devatas that you invoke for pleasure, for satisfaction, they are called as Toshana Devatas or Tushita Devatas. And their names are also given in the scriptures. Tosha, Pratosha, Santosha, Shanti, Idaspati, Idma, Kavi, Vibhus, Swahna, Sudeva, and Rochana. So these were the 12 children, and most of them, like we have Bhadramte, that let there be auspiciousness. Now Bhadra is a child of when proper yajna is done and proper service is done to the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Basically, Dakshina represents service, some offering of service to the Vaishnavas. And when this is done, then there is auspiciousness that is created, then there is the Santosha, all these things that we like to have are created. And it is said that in the Swayambhuva Manvantara, there was no person that was qualified enough to become Indra. And because there was no one that was qualified enough to become Indra, then Yajna, the Supreme Lord Yajna, was appointed as Indra in the Swayambhuva Manvantara. As Indra of the Swayambhuva Manu, he started to inaugurate this process of doing fire sacrifices, and which is now very commonly known as Havan or Yajna or different names. And this Yajna, this worshipping the fire or worshipping Krishna or God through fire, is not only in the Vedic culture or not only limited to Indian continent. We also find this worship of the fire in other places, in other religions. The whole, there is the worship of the fire god, the Agni, in the different religion, in the Parsi religion, in different religions. And also in Egypt, this whole pyramids that people go and watch, and the scientists are intrigued about what exactly are they. The pyramid, now mid means in the middle, and pyra or pyre means fire. So pyramid means fire in the middle. And if you see the construction of the pyramid and construction of a yajna kunda, they are pretty similar. It's like a pyramid. So one theory is that these were huge yajna shalas that were there at some point of time, or for the devatas that were used. and now they are just there and no one knows why they are there. So these are some things about how the process of Yajna was actually worldwide. And now again scientists are again trying to see that this so-called seemingly Yajna, which people do, seem to be something very deeply scientific. And they start to find that how the combination of the ghee and the cow dung and all the mantras, they create such auspicious environment, both in terms of air quality and also in terms of the sound quality. Because in the yajna, both the mantras are chanted and also the physical offerings are put. And the combination of these both, there is whole articles about, whole books about the scientific benefits of yajna. And His Holiness Hridayanand Maharaj, he also gives a very nice understanding of what is this yajnas that are done. And Prabhupada always used to say that in the yajna, when in the olden times, in the golden times or in the Treta Yuga, there were demigods that used to come when the yajnas were performed. It was a invocation. And now we don't know whether the yajna is properly being done or not, because we don't see any physical manifestation. It's as though you do some experiment in the lab, but there is no verification test. The color should change or the fume should be of this color. There is no way by which an experiment can be tested. And therefore sometimes in Kali Yuga, the yajna is misunderstood, or it becomes a business in many places where, depending on the time we have, the yajna is performed. So Hridayanand Maharaj, he explains that the universe is huge. Just the sun planet, it is so far away. That's why it looks like a small thing, but actually the sun planet can accommodate 13 lakh earth planets. That's how big the sun is. And what to speak of all other planets and all other lokas. Now if you want to send a message, call a devata, and this NASA has this SETI search for extraterrestrial intelligence that has been trying to send signals into the outer space. Hello, is there anyone out there? And no response has come, or we are not able to decipher what exactly all the cosmic noise that comes. So what is the way by which you can call or invoke in case you want to get somebody's help? And the method to do that was this process of yajna, by which right here on planet Earth, in one particular part, whereby creating this yajna kunda and performing the fire sacrifice, you call any devata, anyone in the universe or beyond the universe, depending on the power that the brahmanas and the yajna has. And he compares it to a computer. Now in the computer there is a hard disk. Now the hard disk has so many folders and files, and sometimes it's a difficult thing to find where is that file that I was looking for. So therefore the whole computer technology really took off when there was a desktop, when there was a graphical interface by which you can navigate through your hard disk. Else all those command prompts, not many of us are comfortable working with them. Of course, we have few devotees I know, they are more comfortable with that, because things are more faster, but you need to know what exactly is where. So on the desktop, you click the hard disk is seen there, and you open the hard disk and then you go to different files or folders, and then say you open a Word file or a video file, whichever one you want. And this screen that is in presently in front of you gives access to all those things that are currently in there in your hard disk. And what to speak of that computer that is connected to internet. Now if that is connected to internet, to the World Wide Web, then wherever anyone's laptop may be there or anywhere the video may be there, you can access. Some years back, one of our devotees from Russia, he had come and he is a hacker. And we were asking him that, is hacking really true? One Grihastha was asking him. And he just asked him, what is your email ID? And he took his email ID. And just by his email ID, he opened this person's bank account through hacking. And he said, I can transfer any amount of, this is the money you have in your bank account. I can transfer any amount of money that you have to me. Should I do that? That will be real proof. Said, no, Prabhuji, please don't do that. So we may think that my data is safe, but anything that is put on that, any other person who is expert with these technologies can access it. And that's why often you find you visit some page and then you go to Facebook or any other place and same thing, same advertisement comes there because they keep a track. And Google CEO Larry Page, he was asked that, why is it that you don't keep any privacy? You sell our data to people. Inside, not externally, but internally, all the data that we have is sold. Then he said that if you don't want it to be publicized, don't put it on the phone. The very fact that you're putting it on the phone means that it is now public. So if the computer is connected to the internet, then it can access not just something in the my LAN, in the say in the library or anywhere, but anywhere in the world. In IIT Bombay, the students, they watch the movie even before it is released in Hollywood, because it's there on some server in the world and they hack into the server, and even before the movie is released, most of them watch the movie. And same with the yajna. The yajna is like that cosmic desktop, where right here you create an interface by which any data, any person in the world, in the universe that is there, you connect and you actually bring him. Now in this world we can maybe do a FaceTime or a Skype chat with someone and you will talk to him. But that person can't come out of that screen right into your presence. It doesn't happen. It's just a scientific fiction that somebody pops out. There are all these videos sometimes that are shown. But the technology that is the yajna is that if you are properly chanting and you able to use that technology, you can actually bring out that person whom you want right here in your presence. And therefore, often, even before the yajna is done, we actually call that person. There is a test that is done. There is a test that is done. That is usually the sacrifice of some animal or something by which you know, is the yajna actually powerful enough. And if that animal comes alive, then you know this yajna that is performed is actually having power. Because even without is the voice coming? Hare Krishna. So if you try to really call that person even before it is properly chanted, they don't know who exactly will come out. All of us, when we open internet, we just log into google.com just to check if internet is working. And then when we go to other websites. Same way, in the yajna, there was this testing done, just like Prabhupada says, in a medical laboratory. Before they release the medicine, they test it on some animals. Of course, sometimes it turns into brutal abuse. And same thing happened with the process of yajna, that the yajna, that what was supposed to be a test to see the power of the yajna, became a taste. They wanted to taste this animal, they wanted to eat, which was never the fact with yajnas. And why yajnas were done? And any process of deliverance is for a purpose. And all of us are conditioned by different habits and different gunas that we have. And all of them are called as vasanas. And these vasanas are deep habitual tendencies that we have. And because of these tendencies, when that particular environment is there, then we get into those sinful activities. And in this world, we are all always tempted. Everywhere there is temptations. And these vasanas, either they can become vikaras into bad habits, or they can be transformed into samskaras, a good culture or good impressions. And the way to transform the samskaras from vikara to samskara is the process of yajna, or the process of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And when these vikaras are transformed by the proper samskaras, then those will create proper actions, and those proper actions will again create proper desires or vasanas. And this is a very vicious cycle unless we try to break. And as Vaishnavas, we don't just try to invoke any devata, we directly try to invoke the Supreme Lord, because the method that is given, the method of chanting Hare Krishna, it is not a physical method that is like the yajna. If you compare yajna to an internet cable, yajna, chanting Hare Krishna is like Wi-Fi. You can connect to the Lord anywhere. Anywhere you go, you just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely, and then you can connect to the Lord. And this way, we'll be able to purify our samskaras. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came in the Kali Yuga to give us this method, most accessible method, because he knows that in the other yugas, the processes that were there are very difficult to perform. Prabhupada always said that if you want to perform a yajna properly, you need proper brahmanas who are properly qualified. And then you need proper pure ingredients to be able to do the yajna, and all the rituals, the ceremonies have to be proper. And even if one mantra is here and there, then the result can be different. We know in the fourth canto, in the Prithu Maharaj section, when Indra wanted to do this yajna to kill it was Tvastra, right? Tvastra that did this yajna. And he chanted the mantra improperly, and because of which, instead of the person who will kill Indra, that person who will be killed by Indra was produced. So therefore, in the Kali Yuga, although we take support of meditation, which was the process of Satyuga, we take help of the Yajna, because all these are powerful methods. We take support of the deity worship, but the main process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna. And and there is a beautiful comparison that is given in the Mahabharata about Kali Yuga, that once the Pandavas, they were surprised about the different activities that were happening, which were very surprising. So they came, each one came to Krishna, and Krishna started to explain. Now there is another version to this story, but the version which I read was that Yudhishthir Maharaj saw an elephant with two heads, two trunks, and which was strange to him. So he came to Krishna and said that, what is this, that an elephant with two trunks? And then Krishna explains that this is the symptom of Kali Yuga, that in the Kali Yuga, people will have two faces. They'll speak one thing, they'll do another thing. They'll appear to be one, of having of one face, but they'll have another face. Therefore, this elephant has two faces, which is just symbolizing the people in the Kali Yuga. Then Bhima, he came and he said that, I saw a big pond that was totally empty. But there were few other ponds, small ponds, that were filled with waters. And if, although this big pond is surrounded by all the small ponds that were filled with water, there is no water in the big pond. What is this? There should be at least some water. And Krishna explains to Bhima that this is another symptom of Kali Yuga, that people will invest their full energy into small things in life, and they will neglect to pour any energy or any of their time into the important things in life. The big pond represents the important things, say, one's deliverance, spiritual activities. One will not pay any time, or they say, the small ponds are more important. And the small ponds keep turbulating, they keep disturbing. And this was another symptom of Kali Yuga, that people pay attention to unimportant things, as Prabhupada said. We make unnecessary things as necessary. Or it is proposed to say, unnecessary necessities. And those things that are actually important, actually crucial, say our relationship with devotees or our relationship with Krishna, we don't pay much energy or time or attention to them. And then Arjun came and saw, explained that, I saw a bird that was chanting Vedic hymns. It was chanting the Vedic hymns, but as it was chanting the Vedic hymns, this bird was eating flesh of a human body. It is chanting Vedic hymns, but it is eating the flesh of a human body, which is also strange. First of all, a bird chanting Vedas, and then it is eating human flesh, which is very not good to look at. Then Lord Krishna explained that this is also another symptom of the Kali Yuga, that people will speak a lot of good things, many good things, sometimes godly things, sometimes they'll quote verses, they'll be highly scholarly, but if you go and look at their activities, their activities will be actually very selfish, very something that is only wanting to take from others. Therefore, they say that in previous ages or in a good culture, when somebody cries, others will go and give tissue papers to them to remove their tears. But in Kali Yuga or in an improper culture, if someone cries, people will go and sell tissue papers. You are crying, why don't you buy this tissue paper from me? And because everyone just looks for their own interest, even when in others' suffering. Then Nakul, he comes there. He comes and explains to Krishna that I saw a cow. It had given birth to its baby and it was licking the baby. And the baby was being licked so much that the baby is starting to bleed. It's starting to shiver because of too much licking. And people had to forcibly take away the calf from the cow just to protect that baby. And Lord Krishna explained that in Kali Yuga, parents will do too much pampering to their children. That so much pampering that the child actually doesn't grow himself from internally. Now I remember in my times, if there was exam, no matter what seriousness of the exam, whether it be a 10th class exam or a board exam or IIT, JEE or anything, parents never came to drop me to the exam hall. Or, okay, let me go. And it was we that just tried to look. But now it is a common thing that the parents will not just drop, but will wait till 3 hours, 4 hours under the heat of the sun. In case bete ko kuch lagega, so I'll be there. And this too much pampering is what will happen in Kali Yuga. People don't know how to take care of their dependents. Either they will neglect their dependents or they will take care of so much that their dependents don't actually grow. And then Sahadev, the final, he came and he said, I saw a huge boulder on the top of a mountain, and this boulder, it started to come down. And it was so huge that everything that was on the way, rocks, other hillocks, everything was being crushed to powder. But this boulder came and there was a small plant there and it stopped against this plant and it couldn't move any further. Which is also very strange. If a boulder can destroy big trees, how come this small plant could stop it? And then Lord Krishna said that the Kali Yuga is like heavy boulder. The kind of temptations and forces of Kali Yuga are unstoppable. And everything that comes, all types of traditions, all types of philosophies, all types of culture that exists will just get destroyed by the boulders of Kali Yuga. But that little plant that is there is the holy name, is the Bhakti Lata Beach that is watered. And even a little plant that exists of the Bhakti Lata Beach by the holy name plant, that has the power to stop all the effects of Kali Yuga. And therefore, Mahaprabhu, although it looks to be very small process, but it is a very powerful process. And I once heard a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and he was telling that our taking care of, our chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is like taking care of a child. The child, when he is born, you have to pay too much attention to him. And constantly you need to nourish him, feed him. And that's how a sadhaka is. A sadhaka has to protect his newborn chanting of the holy name. And he needs to protect it like a child. And usually, for a parent, the child doesn't give any returns till they grow till the age of 25 or 30 till they get a job. It is just the parents that are just investing on the child. But if they don't do that, in the old age, what happens? For the old people, there is no child to take care of them. Therefore, the parents take care of their children, knowing that in the old age, or hoping that in the old age, they'll take care of them. And then Maharaj explains that, same with the chanting of the Hare Krishna. That every day we are trying to nourish, protect and that holy name. But it is that holy name in the long run which will become a grown-up child which will protect us. And if we don't take care of that holy name now, every day, don't protect, don't nourish it, then in the old age when we can't do any other services, then we won't be able to have anyone that will protect us. So, although the plant is small, it can actually give us shelter in the long run and currently. So therefore, although the four seasons are there, the four yugas, but this, the process that is given in this yuga is the most favorable for the Kali Yuga lifestyles that we have. It is like a Wi-Fi where we can connect to the Lord. The yajna was like the cosmic desktop, but the same process is in the Kali Yuga, the chanting of the Hare Krishna. And in this verse, this Shruk and Shrava are explained, the ladle by which yajna is done. So I lented it from Radhadyuti Prabhu. These are the two symbols or the weapons of Yajna Purusha. The yajna, the incarnation of Treta Yuga. He carries many symbols, but these are the two. Now this is the ladle is called a shruk, by which it is put into the ghee is put into the fire. And I was reading that it has two places. So this represents our two nostrils or two sides, the sun and the moon, or the right nostril and the left nostril, indicating that whether it be day or night or any of that, all our inhalation and exhalation should be a piece of should be for the sacrificing to Lord Vishnu. So this is how you put, and this also represents the nose of a cow. And this is Shruk, and Shrava, this is used for the Purnahuti, where sometime at the end, where the Purnahuti is done, all the whatever are the ingredients, the til and other things are put in this, the ghee is put, and all the mantras are chanted, and then finally the Shruva, the Purnahuti is done. And then usually on this, that tilak also is used to put on everyone. So these are the symbols of Yajna Purusha. But the weapons of Mahaprabhu are different. They are the Lord's devotees are his weapons. And through his weapons, he converts the Kali Yuga souls. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Hope I shared something that was valuable. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.